Here's something from the Book of Hermas. If you want to make a note on this. Okay, this is 2 Hermas here. 2 Hermas' command, chapter 7. Okay, this is what the Lord is saying here. It says, fear God, he says. Keep his commandments, as Hermas is being instructed here. Fear God and keep his commandments. Of course, we know a commandment is the ordered activity. The ordered activity is that which is building upon the knowledge of the second covenant, not the first covenant, keeping commandments of that second covenant, covenant we're in right now. For if you keep his commandments, you should be powerful in every work, which means the anointing will continue to assist and sustain you and sustain your faith, where the peace of God will rule. Okay, so he says, keep his commandments, for if you keep his commandments, you should be powerful in every work, as they tend the altar here, and all your work should be excellent. We've got the Spirit will continually bring equity, okay, in your cycles of growth. For by fearing God, you should do everything well. I like that. In verse 2 here, for this is the fear which you must have, see, which you must be affected, that you may be saved. Then he goes on to tell Hermas here, but fear not the devil, because the devil isn't powerful. Okay, the devil's persuasive to try to depart from the covenant. Satan only tempts you in the areas of departing from the covenant. He's not going to tempt you to overeat. He's not going to tempt you concerning the nuances of your own personal struggles as you try to overcome yourself. The adversary, Satan, his challenges exist in the area of disobedience to God, okay, and involving the covenant. This is what he's explaining here. So for if you fear the Lord, you shall have dominion over him, okay, because there's no power in him. And there's no power in him. He only has the area of influence, persuasion. And also he goes on, fear not the devil because he has no power over you. Now the devil may strive, but he cannot overcome them. Because the devil tries the servants of God, and if he finds them empty, he destroys them. That means if he finds them empty, that's why you keep your vessel full of faith. And that's out of, I expounded on that a little bit. For instance, 2 Hermas' command, if you want to make a note on that and do some studying on your own. 2 Hermas' command, chapter 7. Let's read something from 1 Adam and Eve, chapter 14, verses 3 through 5. Again said God to Adam. Now this is after Adam transgressed. You see that God continually communicated to him. That God continually communicates to all his creation every day. Again said God to Adam, all this misery that you have made to take upon you because of your transgression will not free you from the hand of Satan and will not save you. And this is Satan or Adam's misery had to do with a woodshock. Okay, because Adam was created in the light and was in the garden of paradise. And he experienced the very opposite of what we experience. Okay, when we come into this dimension, we experience immediately, okay, the darkness, the misery, okay, the restrictions, the oppressions. But it wasn't so with Adam and Eve at first, because they were born in the light at first and then went into darkness. Okay, but we were born in the darkness, now come into the light. So Adam was experiencing woodshock. Okay, woodshock, he was disoriented, okay, and regarding his footing. Okay, well, I mean, where he's thinking in himself, where do I go from here? Being cast from the garden, the challenges face him concerning survival and consumption. He has to eat. He has to sleep. He has to find a shelter. The needs of life are now pressing upon him. So God's instructing him in this manner. God said to Adam, all this misery that you have made to take upon you because your transgression will not free you from the hand of Satan and will not save you. He had this self-affliction. He had this self-affliction. But I will, this is what God's saying to Adam and Eve, but I will, when I shall come down from heaven and shall become flesh of your seed and take upon me the infirmity, okay, from which you suffered in the separation. Then the darkness that came upon you in this cave shall come upon me in the grave when I am in the flesh of your seed, in the form of your likeness, in the restrictions of the flesh. And I who am without years, when God is speaking to Adam and Eve here, and I who am without years, he's in the eternal moment, shall be subject to the reckoning of years, times, months, and the days. Imagine that, being born in the eternal moment and yet now put into a restrictive dimension. We're going to go in the opposite. We're in the restricted dimension now, but then we should go into eternal moment of our Father, the baptism of light. Being freed from all restriction, from all death, from all the tokens of death, from all the tokens of time, neither shall remember them anymore. Because they're only present at this time for the contrast and for the choices that we make in serving God. For right now, he says here, and I who am without years shall be subject to the reckoning of years, of times, of months, of days. And I shall be reckoned as one of the sons of men in order to save you. And that's out of, if you want to make a note, that's out of 1st Adam and Eve, chapter 14, 3 through 5, if you want to pick up reading, doing some research there and doing some reading there. Now we'll be going into some other interesting things here in the apocalypse of Isaiah and also in the book of Daniel today. Okay, as we discuss more things concerning the challenges which the first century church faced. And we're going to do some expounding as concerning the events which we're presently in. Okay, and so let's start here. All right, we're in, for those who are just joining us, we're in 2 Thessalonians, picking up where we left off last week. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. All right, and we can start in verse 6, which we can highlight the word command. See the word command there in verse 6. We apostles set before you this ordered activity. Okay, this ordered activity is rooted within tradition of Christ, which is the covenant. Okay, we are rooted in tradition of Christ, which is covenant. But the religious system of this world is rooted within the anomalies of the moral code, with religious overtone. It's like a painting, of a beautiful tree with fruit on it. But you can't eat or consume the fruit. It has equity to the eye, but no taste to the tongue. It has equity to the eye, but no taste to the tongue. But we partake of the living and true tree. Not only does it possess equity as a tree of life, but it also has taste to the tongue, which means it fills our hearts with charity. It fills our hearts with charity. So here the Apostle Paul says, we command you or set this order before you. This is for your benefit, that you can abound and increase in all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You're partaking of the tokens of his sanctification, which center, of course, in the hub of his stewardship. And we'll be talking more about that in a moment when we turn to 1 Kings. And when we turn to 1 Kings, we're going to see some very interesting things here. A starting point of tribulation and desolations for Israel. Well, we're not going to go there right at this moment, but we're going to just read some things here in verse 7. And this is 2 Thessalonians 3, 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. I like the word us and we, because we're talking about stewardship. Those of the false religious system who feel that, that the yoke of stewardship is not necessary in order to plow your field or making a serious mistake and regarding the fruits of their labor. You need the yoke of stewardship and the strength of the ox, the anointing, and the oversight for the festivities of your labor. And this is, of course, the apostles and as well as Jesus brings that out, that the farmer or the labor of the field is worthy of his hire. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. So I hate the word follow us. This is stewardship, which is, of course, not unreasonable. It's those that are outside a covenant that look at stewardship as unreasonable. Yet they volunteer themselves or they elect themselves to stand in positions of authority which are not sanctified. And that's the reason why you see so much confusion in the false religious system today. And, of course, the Lord is making full disclosure of the secrets of that false religious system. The roots of it, the roots of it are being exposed, to the foundation. The foundation or the roots of it are being exposed. The roots and also the fruits. Now the world is looking at the fruits of it and they see its vanity. And they also despise it. They despise it. So the world, the sinners, the ungodly, and the wicked has selected other philosophies to stand for their conscience, which, of course, will be condemning them in the day of the great white throne judgment. Okay, their own conscience will condemn them in that day. So here, in verse 7, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. So make sure you highlight the word follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And highlight the word disorderly. And we didn't act as Satan's protesters, to stand independent of stewardship, as those also, which find these commandments restrictive. And now he talks about that. Okay, it's concerning the things which we command you. And you see that also in verse 3. Okay, if you want to have a free course, which he says here, no, friendly brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Free course, which has to do without the stumbling blocks of the moral code. Okay, if you want to follow these things, you can't use the moral code as your key to unlock these mysteries or these treasures. Now you need that, which is a stewardship. A stewardship bears the key. And we can see that in the book of Revelation. He that opens no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Okay, we can see that in Revelation chapter 3 there. Unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Okay, he that opens no man shuts. The key of stewardship is provided by the Lord through that stewardship. Okay, and of course, we can see the chief elder and apostle John was describing this opening. This is the free course, okay, without restriction. Okay, so without this key, you're going to continually run into the barriers of derision. The barriers of derision are always before the disobedient soul, disobedient heart. And we're going to see this here, okay, as we turn to 1 Kings. So put your marker here because we'll be coming back to Thessalonians. And we're going to turn to 1 Kings. And this is 1 Kings chapter 12. We've been bouncing back and forth with a few verses here from Kings, Daniel, and Isaiah, okay, or Jeremiah. Some very interesting things here. Okay, and these particular things, okay, are relevant for our activity today. But let's go here. We'll start with 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. Okay, to bring you up to date, we can see that Solomon at this point had passed away. Okay, and upon his passing, his son Rehoboam took the throne. Okay, and we see this in chapter 11, verse 43. At that time, Solomon reigned over Jerusalem, reigned in Jerusalem and over all Israel for 40 years. See, Jerusalem and over all Israel for 40 years, that generation. And now the number 40 is important there. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, reigned in his place. We can see in the book of Proverbs that Solomon wrote these things out for Rehoboam to heed to the counsel of the elders. And when he takes the position of his throne, to heed the counsel of the older group of elders. But of course, Rehoboam selected to heed the counsel of his friends rather than the counsel of those which counseled his father, Solomon. We're going to see some things go on here. Now, during this conflict, even during Solomon's reign, there was a lot of contrast that was being presented. Okay, and this contrast caused conflict where Jeroboam fled to Egypt. Well, let's start here. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them. Now, King Rehoboam made a statement as concerning his position of ruling. And he sent letters throughout all Israel during this particular time and to the tribal elders, to come together for this council. Right? So when all Israel saw that king hearkened not unto them, the people answered in his protest and said to the king, King Rehoboam, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, David. So Israel departed to their tents. In chapter 12 here, verse 16, so all Israel saw that the king Rehoboam hearkened not to them. They were negotiating. It wasn't really their position to make that negotiation. But God at this point in time, okay, was going to make distinctions. He was making distinctions. Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. He fled there from Solomon because it was revealed to Jeroboam, okay, that 10 tribes would be given to him. Okay, and that was in direct conflict to Solomon's position at that time, king over all Israel. But now at this point, God, who knows the hearts of all men, weighed all these things as now bringing about division. Okay, Israel was one kingdom, but now it's going to become divided. Okay, God was dividing them between Judah and Israel. Okay, we can see that God took the people out of Egypt as one group and one stewardship. And we can see through the writings of the Apostle Paul, on more than one occasion, a judgment was given for the purpose of purging. There was a purging, a division and a purging, another division and a purging in regarding the conflicts of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, and also the conflict that surrounded the Midianite woman, Cosby. We can see that there were issues that surfaced that brought certain conflict with stewardship, and that how they wanted to take things into the direction which would be more appealing, easier, and appealing to themselves. So let's see what happens. So at this point, now you can mark this point here. This is the halfway point. When Israel came out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They came into the land of Canaan, and there they were for about 1,500 years. Midway through there, around 1000 B.C., was when Solomon and David and Solomon began to reign, around 1000 B.C. From this point, at this point right here, Israel was entering into a new time frame. Let's see what happens here. So now Israel saw that the king, King Rehoboam there, hearkened not unto them. The people answered, and we read that. What have we in David? And so we see here that the people protested in this manner, and that now, at this point, a demon was set over them. The demon's name was Samuel. That's S-A-M-M-U-A-L. Not the prophet Samuel. This was a demon called that. From this point on, now for the next 2,500 years, the desolations that they were determined for Israel. This is when it began to happen. And now let's read on here. But yet Michael the archangel was still over Judah, because the temple was still sanctified. The temple was the sanctified contact point, and Rehoboam was appointed as a successor to Solomon to carry on this tradition that was promised to King David, as concerning his seed. So now Samuel, the demon, was assigned over the 10 tribes, which openly opposed Michael the archangel, who's over Judah. At this point on, things began to change. You can see the conflict that arose, as well as also the false religious system began to take form. Now let's jump over to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Now we're still talking about Thessalonians here, how the Apostle Paul talked about the traditions which you received from us. Well, this is how it began. We can see that even during the first eighth week, in the midst of that time period, that the doctrine of Nicolaitans, as well as the doctrine of Jezebel, the doctrine of Balaam, began to surface and take root. And it was through the rabbis who at one point was enlightened and converted to Christianity, but then wanted to still maintain the traditions of Moses. They still wanted to retain certain cultural traditions, cultural purity, which is not necessary. It was only necessary to point to the Messiah. But at this point of time, the contamination began. Let's go to Daniel. Everybody should be there now. Daniel chapter 12. So we're going to read some interesting things here and where this all began. So we can see where it began with Israel, because in a short time, we see that the numerous kings arose in Israel to the point of their dispersion. It was another time frame. Whereas it was prophesied 490 years, the Messiah will come. So you can see of how things began to mold to that point. Chapter 12, of Daniel. Of course, this history is pretty well known. And regarding this history here, the history of Daniel. Now at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince. I hate the word Michael there. At that time, he left. And here the Spirit's revealing that Michael the archangel will return. Now when is that going to happen? We can see that's going to happen in the book of Revelation. Michael the archangel will return. Satan will be cast out of heaven with his 13 princes. But at this point of time, Satan still has his foothold there in the first heaven. So at that time shall Michael the archangel stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of my people, There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even the same time. Then at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, even during the ninth week. When the Antichrist stands up, there will be a division of the people, there's a mass exodus, of many people that believe the report that was spoken by Enoch and Elijah, and those of the 144,000 which were raptured, at the second half, of the seven-year tribulation. Now, Michael and his angels, chapter 12 of Revelation talks about that, as we see chapter 12 of Daniel talks about it. There's going to be conflict within the heavens. The heavens must first be purged before Christ comes back. But the heavens at this point of time, are not purged. That's why you see the turmoil and the plundering and the four horsemen plundering within the earth. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and also death and hell. The four horsemen bring about these conflicts. But one of the major watermarks, for this was going to be found, which we're going to be reading here pretty soon, in the technologies. But let's go on here. And chapter 12, verse 1. At the time your people shall be delivered, everyone should be found written a book in the book of life. That is, they will be delivered. Many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, and some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt at the end of the ninth week. Now, the angel of the Lord here is explaining to Daniel a course of events. Now, these course of events are put in different week and time frames. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament. That's us. They that be wise, those which study the doctrine of this covenant, will be wise. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. See the word stars there. And this is, of course, in fulfillment of what God said to Abraham, as the stars of heaven and as a sandwich upon a seashore. We ourselves will bear both water and fire and the light of God's countenance in the very house or tabernacle of his conscience, of our father's conscience. Now he's explaining here, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, which is even to the 10th week. Many mysteries will remain that way until the time when they're going to be fulfilled. And the same thing in Jesus' ministry. Many prophets and righteous men desire to understand the allegories of all the signs, the wonders, and the construction of the tabernacle. Why did God construct the tabernacle in this manner and Solomon's temple in that manner? And why did all these people and particular characters and events that unfolded into these people's lives, why were they recorded in this manner? Because there are allegories. All these allegories that God elected to put within print, for the purpose of our study, reading. We can see that there's a divine pattern in this. Let's go on to verse 4. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end, which we're living in now. Many shall run to and fro. Now this is the word I want you to highlight. Knowledge shall be increased. Highlight the word knowledge shall be increased. The flow of knowledge shall reach in all places. And we can see this with the internet. Now, we know the book of Revelation talks about that, because the Revelation talks about that all the world will see, when God raises from the dead Enoch and Elijah, though all the world shall wonder. Now, many theologians in the 15th century looked and weighed the book of Revelation as nonsensical. It's just allegorical, nonsensical, not really applicable for the church. Why? Because he says, how can the whole world see an event? Well, the technology wasn't developed at that time because we haven't entered into that time frame yet. Then all of a sudden, the industrial age began in full throttle within the last 150 years. We can see it just increase and increase and increase to the point of the internet. So we can see that what was written in the book of Revelation, is relevant for us. Concerning knowledge shall be increased. Society will go beyond the ox cart, and drawing water from the well. It'll go beyond that, in all places. So when Daniel listened to this and saw things, it was very perplexing to him. because these events are waiting to unfold. Okay, now let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35. It's just a few verses that are in here which I want to bring to your attention, which Daniel spoke about. What Daniel spoke about is what was revealed to Jeremiah. Okay, Jeremiah, as well as Daniel, had also a time frame. Okay, to Daniel, it was 70 years. Okay, or for Israel at that point, it was 70 years of captivity. But it was also revealed 490 years. Okay, regarding that which had to do with another change of events concerning the Messiah. And then we see another time frame which even went beyond that. Okay, which had to do with 2,500 years. Okay, this is where we're at today. Okay, in Jeremiah, starting with verse 35, everyone should be there. Thus saith the Lord, which gives the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and stars for light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. Okay, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. All right, now let's look at this here. Now the Lord says, if those ordinances. Now, in the book of Revelation, there's going to be a change of these things. The sun and the moon will change their direction. Okay, mostly after the asteroid hits. Okay, they'll change their direction. And actually, time will, after the point of impact, and this is in chapter 8, Revelation 8, when the angel blows the fourth trumpet, we're going to see that how the sun and the moon begin to, where it says the sun shone not for a third part of the day and the night likewise. And that has to do with the speed, the rotation of the earth. So we can see that will happen. All right. Okay, so he says, verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which gives signs in the sun, which regarding the priesthood, for a light by day, but becomes black as sackcloth, at another point, doesn't it? Which gives the sun for a light by day. But then we see for about 3 days it's going to be extremely dark, okay, where all the whole world is going to witness this phenomena, where they're going to flee to their bunkers, and they're going to hide. They're going to say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, from him that sits upon the throne. And this is going to give them a chance to run and hide. Okay, but this is before the impact of the asteroid. Right, so we can see that already in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord is already making some things known that are going to happen, but haven't happened as yet. Okay, and for light and the moon to give the light by night, but it's going to be blood red. Okay, so that's going to change for about 3 days. Right, which divides the sea when the rays thereof roar? That's going to change. Okay, mostly after the asteroid hits, it's going to cause a whole change on the basin of the oceans. The oceans, that's going to change. The shorelines of many countries is going to change. Okay, because of the impact of the asteroid is going to cause a large impression in the earth. Okay, and it's going to cause tsunamis. Everything's going to recede to the impact area. Okay, it's going to spread out, but it's going to recede to the impact area, and it's going to leave, okay, your vacation hotels, okay, standing, well, if there's anything left, standing just there with hundreds of miles between you and the water. Then he goes on right here, so we just talked about that. He's also going to dry up and make also the oceans as bloody soup. Bloody soup, okay, with everything that's living in the ocean, okay, whether it be whales or sharks, porpoises. Okay, everything that lives within the ocean and survives by it is going to be killed, lifeless. It's going to turn the oceans and the seas and the oceans into a bloody soup. So that everything, okay, which the world resources for their confidence or survival, God continually takes it away from them, okay, until they cry out to him. And of course, they're not going to do that. Now, if those ordinances, I like the word if those ordinances, that's when I change the patterns during the Enochian weeks here, mostly the Enochian seventh week, if those ordinances depart from before me, That means where the foundations of the mountains are discovered is also the extent and the rule that the universe is measured. Now that's already happened. Okay, technology has brought atomites, okay, to this threshold of destruction. Okay, technology has brought atomites to the threshold of destruction. And this is what the Lord is saying through Jeremiah. Okay, when the technology reaches to the point, okay, where atomites, okay, are measuring the distance of the universe and the expanses of my creation, okay, and the depths of the mountains of the very foundations of the earth, the bottoms of the mountains, okay, are measured, which they're doing now. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also should cease to be a nation. We see that happening right now. They're gathering together, okay, but they can't put themselves in the position of they're in this position of statehood, but they're continually being torn apart. Every time they try to come together, okay, every president that comes and sits, every sitting president, okay, and sitting nations of the United Nations continually want to tear it apart. They tear it apart, they tear it apart, they tear it apart every time. And now in the book of Revelation, they're going to be successful because it's going to be divided into three parts. Israel and Jerusalem will be divided into three parts. So that's the time frame. Okay, he called them back together, but because of disobedience, these desolations have been determined to separations and war. Okay, and so if these ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Okay, I mean, this is the beginning of their destruction until the millennial reign. Now, we just read that in Daniel, didn't we? Knowledge shall increase. People should travel to and fro. The technologies will increase to this point of time. Now, why am we reading this? Because we're going back to the kings. And we're going to see how God and when God initiated this and the time frame we're living in. All right. In the tribulation, God will use them to announce his presence. For thus saith the Lord, if heaven can be measured, see that? If heaven above can be measured, the expanses of the universe, we know that technologies have been used to do this now. And the foundations of the earth stretched out beneath, then when the technologies appear for this to happen, shall be discovered and explored, I also will cast off all the seed of Israel and be divided into three parts. You see the time frame we're living in, okay, concerning the second eighth week, the rapture of the church, and the appointment of the Antichrist. We can see everything is coming to that point. Because they rejected, this is what the Lord is saying, I also cast off all the seed of Israel. Why? Because they rejected my Messiah to preserve their own tradition and culture and race. For all that they have done, saith the Lord, now only those that are faith are my children. That's what the Lord is saying. Only those that are faith are my children. Only those that bear the mark of the priesthood. Not bearing the face of the race, but bearing the face of faith. Now, let's go back to the kings. We're going to read some more interesting things here to verse 24. Okay, so they said, what portion have we in David? Okay, that is, at this point, another angel, fallen angel, he will be your conscience. Can you imagine that? A demon will be your conscience. Now, the prince of Persia is Dubiel. Okay, the prince of Persia, or Iran, Iraq. That demon rules there. Now, we see the name of other demon princes that rule in the area, and there are four great demons that rule in an area. Okay, they have not been bound yet. Okay, they'll be bound in the river Euphrates for a year, a month, a day, and an hour. Then they will be released again to cause their turmoil. Okay, so let's go on here. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, okay, this is where Michael the archangel was still at, the sanctified temple. Rehoboam reigned over them. He still enforced his laws. Verse 18, then King Rehoboam sent his attorney, Adoram, who was over the tribute, who went out to collect money, the taxes at this point. He was over the tribute. He was there to collect the taxes. But Israel at this point was offended, and they stoned him. The money, but they took offense at his attitude and threats and found reasonable cause at this point to execute him. So, and all Israel stoned him with stones, not Rehoboam, his tax collector. That he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam escaped. He escaped the riot that was happening there. King Rehoboam made speed to escape here and to get him up to his chariot and to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled. Israel rebelled. You see what the demon did. Right? And this is what Jesus said. As Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. This is exactly what he did here. At first, there was peace for 40 years. At the conclusion of that, because Israel, the 10 tribes, they took confidence with their own culture. They began to revert back to idolatry. Okay, but Solomon was preserving the temple in Jerusalem, the stewardship and the priesthood. So Israel rebelled against the house of David. This demon now, Samuel, influenced him to stand in opposition to Michael, who confirmed the covenant of God in Jerusalem, where was the temple. Now we see the same thing in the book of Daniel, to confirm the covenant. Okay, so you know that the angel of righteousness is with you because you're confirming the covenant. Okay, those that don't confirm the covenant, another spirit is influencing them. Okay, the Antichrist spirit is influencing those against the covenant. Because what he's saying here, for God assigned this contrast to expose the heart. Now, and this is what Paul's talking about, the exposing of the heart. And it came to pass, verse 20, and it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again out of his hiding place there to Egypt, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, the meeting. He was called to a meeting. The false religious system was setting down a constitution. We can see that in the last 20 years, that the false religious system tried to set down a constitution of the apostolic. Okay? And so many began to gather together, appoint themselves as apostles, and began to make rules, a constitution that they felt would be relevant for the whole church to observe. But apparently, that's not working very well because everyone has gone their own way. They went, as Israel, every man to his own tent. And then they sent and called him unto the congregation, and they made Jeroboam the king of Israel. They made their own stewardship. They made a king over all Israel, and there was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Now verse 21. Now when Rehoboam was come again, returned to Jerusalem, he called for an assembly of his generals. He assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin. I thought that was interesting. The tribe of Benjamin. Now the house of Benjamin was hostile against the house of Judah during the times of Saul, when he was persecuting David. So Saul's house is now reconciled with the house of David. They came under the stewardship. So all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin. I thought that was kind of interesting. You see how the angel, Michael the archangel, united all the houses together in one house. They united all tribes under one house. It's like united all tribes under one stewardship of Moses, which is of Levi. You see how the Lord did that. That's what God's doing today. Okay, now what happened here? Even there was 180,000 chosen men of the reserves there, which were warriors sworn to the king, to fight against the house of Israel, the 10 tribes. Okay, the tribes that protested the sanctified city and the stewardship against the house of Israel to bring the kingdom again to its former glory. Okay, to unite Israel, as Solomon did, to its former glory again under Rehoboam, and the son of Solomon. Now, that's what the false religious system is trying to do. They're trying to unite all assemblies, all churches, under a recognized stewardship. Okay, but not the sanctified stewardship. They're gathering together to see all the churches under Jeroboam and not under Rehoboam. Okay, now verse 22. Now, what happened? The word of the Lord came to Shimei, the man of God. Rehoboam says these people are rebelling against the stewardship. And of course, the Lord does not favor that. This is what Rehoboam is saying. The Lord doesn't favor that. And we know that under Solomon. See, Solomon had all the tribes under him. That's really incredible because he even married Pharaoh's daughter. So we can see the extent it reached its pinnacle of ruling under Solomon. From this point on, though, it diminished very fast. It receded. Okay, so you can see how it filled, it filled the whole land and then suddenly receded. It was the greatest honored of all the kingdoms of the earth there during Solomon's reign, but now it's becoming a reproach. So the word of the Lord came to Shimei, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam. This is what God is saying. Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people. That means those that are joining themselves to Rehoboam. He said, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brother, your brethren, the children of Israel, the 10 tribes. Return every man to his house. Now this is the thing, highlight this now. For this thing is from me. This thing is, I'm bringing the vision. Now the Lord has always done that. He's always brought the vision for the purpose of contrast. The apostles wrote about these things in the epistles concerning the division. Okay, the apostle Paul wrote about that. We talked about that last week concerning Hymenaeus and Alexander. Okay, and Demetrius or Diotrephes. Okay, of the chief elder apostle John writes about in 3 John there. Okay, so let's go to Daniel chapter 10. Okay, we read out of Daniel chapter 12 about the time, just to give you a time frame. Okay, of the things that are unfolding here, we see a repeat of the history of this in the church today, but we also see a time frame which is helping us to identify the season which we're in. Now we're going back to the book of Daniel. All right, and we're in Daniel chapter 10, starting with verse 10. We're going to read quickly through here, okay, so we can finish up here and head back to Thessalonians. And behold, a hand touched me, and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And the angel said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you and stand upright. For unto you am I now sent. Interesting. See, the anointing gives you to walk uprightly. Okay, the anointing assists you to walk upright. That's what we see right here. Those without the anointing are still walking on or they're all fours. And this is what he's talking about here. That's why he says, stand upright. Before he was on the palms, on his knees and palms of his hands. But now the anointing was assisting him to walk uprightly as one that's been illuminated. Those which have in them the engrafting of the Holy Ghost are those which are walking upright. They are the ones which are as the sons of God. He said here, stand up, for unto you am I now sent. Now when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. I rose from all fours onto my feet. And he stood trembling. Now this is when a mighty angel is present. You can feel it within your own soul. A trembling within your own soul. That causes that. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand. Now that's the same thing the Lord says to us today. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, Daniel did the same thing. Daniel asked the Lord, says, Lord, will you unfold to us? What is this allegory? What's the meaning of this? And at this point, the angel brought some things to his understanding. Okay, and let's read here. For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before the Lord, your words were heard, and I'm come for your words. But the prince, which is Dubiel, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me for 21 days. Okay, that means he withstood him in the gate. Now, how do we know that? Well, you read Revelation, and Revelation chapter 12, Michael and Satan fought in the gate. In other words, they kept pushing each other. But Satan wanted to get the gate closed in order for the 144,000 not to be raptured. And Michael the archangel was forcing the gate open to keep it open for the rapture to take place. And for the purging, that was the last that ever happened, because at that point, Satan was cast out. Okay, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is Dubiel, he withstood me for 21 days here in the gate. And though Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make you understand what should befall the people in the latter days. That's what we just talked about, the latter days. Now, okay, knowledge shall be increased. The foundations of the mountains were discovered. The expanses of the universe have been measured. They're talking about the measuring. They said the universe is continually expanding. Their technology has advanced to that point. Okay, that was fulfillment of Scripture. Okay, for yet the vision is for many days, for yet 2,500 years. Now when he has spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. He went into people would call it slain in the spirit. He couldn't move. It became you could feel this at time when the angel visits you. Your body actually goes through a form of shock. And it paralyzes you. That's the word I was looking for. It paralyzes you to where you can't move. And you try to move to the left or to the right. You try to get up. You can't get up. You feel it in your soul. It's just all this rippling and trembling that comes upon you. That's the power of the angel. That's the powerful angel that Daniel felt. That's why the angel had to touch him. So he became dumb. And behold, one like a similitude of the sons of men, which means the even watchers look like people. He touched my lips. Same thing as Jeremiah or Isaiah. They touched the lips. The Lord touches our lips with the anointing. The anointing, when it touches your lips, gives you words to speak in your prophecy. Then I opened my mouth and I spoke and I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows, return unto me. And here, what Daniel was confessing, my guilt, the guilt of my conscience, it grieves me. Now remember, it wasn't purged at that point in time until Christ came. I retain no strength. For how can the servant of my Lord talk, okay, with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there any breath left in me. Then there came again, the angel came and touched him the second time, the one that had the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, as the Lord does to us. The Lord does the same thing to us. Okay, as concerning your dreams of regeneration, the Lord packages it and repackages it. Sometimes you have similar symbolisms there, okay, of the previous dream, which shows there's a connection. The joints of the chain there is a connection of his work. It's a divine work. All right, so it strengthened him again. I am your token. That's what the angel says. I'm your token. Strengthen me, Lord. I'm your token. O man, greatly beloved, don't fear. He says, peace be unto you. You can see what happened. You see the results? Peace. So the peace of God was reigning. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Stand confident in this revelation. Now, when he has spoken this to me, and he spoke to me, I was strengthened. He says, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, verse 20, know you wherefore I come unto you, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, Dubiel. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So we can see that when God assigns these demons, these particular areas of ruling the nations, the sinners, we can see also the war taking place. As you see right now in Russia and Ukraine, these are great demons, okay, that are fighting. Demons are territorial minded, because the more territory they have, the more souls they rule over. The more souls they rule over, the more power they have and rewards of Satan. This has gone on throughout the history of Adam, okay, where God assigns these demons, these particular areas to rule. Okay, let's go on here. And I will show you that that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that that upholds with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Okay, see the word Michael, your prince. Okay, Michael, the prince of Israel, is not the prince of Israel right now, okay, but will be. Now let's go back to Kings. Let's finish it up in there. All right, let's go back, and I think we're right around here. We got to verse 24. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearken therefore to the word of the Lord. That was wise. Rehoboam listened to the Spirit. Now, those in a false religious system would be wise to listen to the Spirit of the Lord and come in a covenant. Okay, but every time they oppose it, when the illumination is present, they weigh it as concerning that they have the power, okay, to perform it, and you can't. We can see that in Daniel. Daniel didn't have the power to perform it, but the angel had to be there to assist him. And those in a false religious system feel, okay, at the point of that illumination, when the grace of God is present, that they also have the power to bring the results. That's their mistake. The spirit of Antichrist, that demon, begins to take over their perceptions again. So they hearken therefore to the word of the Lord and return to depart according to the word of the Lord. Okay, now let's go back in Thessalonians and finish up in there. So we talked about for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Okay, we built an understanding on that word disorderly. Now let's go on here, verse 8. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught. He says here, we apostles, when we express charity, we first taught you. That's what you're doing right now, see? That which we are consuming must first be prepared. So neither do we eat any man's bread for naught. We prepared this knowledge for you to grow by. And as you partake of this bread and this wine, you're partaking of the covenant of Jesus through the stewardship. That's why Jesus gave it to his apostles. Okay, the apostles shared this communion of knowledge with the church, so that the church again will be bonded to Christ that we would be one in all. So neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail. I like the word labor and travail. We see the same thing there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, labor and travail. Labor and travail. We labor at the altar to bring forth. We labor at the altar to bring forth. Yeah, I'll say that again. We labor at the altar to bring forth that which is sown within us, that seed which is put within us matures into its full term, okay, to give birth. And that's what we're doing to the church. Okay, that's the symbolism or the allegory which God gave me. The symbolism and the allegory which God gave me show the development, the maturity, okay, the progress of that, the progress of that through the through the full term, okay, the cycles, which came to the full term there, that God is birthing a people to himself for the house of Eva, as it was for the house of David. And we see also for that when we call it the house of Eva, we're not identifying, okay, there, now we're not exalting particularly the individual, but we're identifying with what Christ is doing. That's what you're doing. You're just identifying, okay, with that which Christ is doing now. Okay, that the separation has to take place, as we saw in Kings, for the perfection and for the purpose of making distinction for identification, contrast. Okay, the contrast is manifested through the contrariness. Those which listen to the spirit of this world, okay, and those which are listening to the anointing. This is what Paul is talking about here. You're all partakers of this fruit. You're all partakers of my labor, as also this travail, until Christ be formed within you. This is what Paul talked about. Okay, of whom I travail until Christ be formed within you, whom I travail again. Okay, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail, night and day. The process continues. Okay, the process continues through your cycles of growth. The work of regeneration, the renewing of the mind, the fruit bearing, the bonding, the priesthood, the stewardship. Okay, everything is coming together. Okay, the assembly, as we see in 1 Kings there, how they assembled together for the purpose of making this distinction. Okay, listening to the anointing preserved them. Listening to the anointing preserves you. Okay, so we labor night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. That means concerning this blessedness, that you experience the fullness of Christ. Okay, so that you come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay, so that these things are given. Okay, this portion and measure of grace is given. And he gave what? Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come for the purpose of maturing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So this was the goal of the first eighth week. This is also the goal and accomplishment of the second eighth week. These are the things which God is molding now, okay, for the purpose of this contrast. Okay, so that by these things, okay, you can identify those which are working with the spirit of this world to identifying those which are building a body with God's kingdom. Those which preach the false gospel are called the whoremongers. Okay, because the knowledge which they're giving is for the purpose of remaining independent, okay, and not bonding. Okay, and not bonding, as also Paul talks about as concerning Christ and the church. Okay, remember he talked about the husband and the wife? And what did he say at the end? I speak as concerning Christ and the church. Okay, that we bear forth fruit to him. If you can do it now, in this time of darkness, in the lowest of the heavens, in the darkest of the heavens, having all these options present at your fingertips, yet you choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows that the crown of his righteousness is for you. When you put on that crown of peace, the peace of God will rule through your cycles of growth, through your choices of life, and the fruit bearing for the kingdom of God.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. And well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.